Hey there, welcome to Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and today we're going to challenge you to power down as a parent. Power down. Take a deep breath. Power doesn't work in the long run in parenting. You know that. Yelling, controlling, hovering doesn't work. And how to parent up. Very practical half hour ahead. Are you ready? Come on in. The doors are open here at Intentional Living.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, counselor and coach, husband and father, and your advocate for the family. Call now, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. And now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your kids, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Intentional Living. We've got parenting on the head here the last several weeks. Of course, our ministry began with Parent Talk, so we have a real traditional legacy of parenting. And the reason we're thinking about parenting so much is because we are ready to begin here in just several hours, literally, this Friday, the Parents Night Out tour across Michigan and then moving to Arizona. And we're excited about that. And got people coming from all over the place, starting Midland this Friday night in Midland, Michigan, at Messiah Lutheran Church, and then Saturday night at Jackson in at Grace Church, and then Sunday in Flint, wrapping up at Central Nazarene Church, and then moving to Arizona, to Phoenix area, October 23, 24, and November 6 in Tucson. And we're excited. We got a great group coming, and it's going to be just very intentional, a lot of fun. Date night for couples, and of course, we've been saying a break night for singles. Got singles coming, and we got couples coming. We got parents with young adults. We got parents with teens. We got parents with little ones. And I'll tell you, I am passionate and pumped about some of the things I want to share with you, because I'm going to take you right back to the basics of parenting and how to be intentional. So anyway, we're looking forward to that. By the way, if you don't have your tickets, you can get them online by going to theintentionallife.com. theintentionallife.com. Now, today we're talking about parenting up and powering down. You know, when you think about being a father, the scripture talks about dads, don't exasperate your children, but bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And I think about, how do you exasperate? What does that word mean, to exasperate, to frustrate, to really not provide the kind of leadership that, you know, we're commanded as parents? This is moms and dads in the household. I think we can exasperate our children in the context of that verse by not training them. We exasperate our children by not teaching them about their identity in Christ. We're not just talking about, you know, being a jerk as a dad or a mom. We're just talking about not doing the things that are really most important. And so today, one of the things we want to challenge you to do is just power down. It's not it's not about yelling or control or you're not the Holy Spirit in your child's life. You're a steward. You have an opportunity to love on them and care for them and provide for them. And even the scripture says to us in Romans chapter 8, a beautiful picture where Paul says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. And by him we call Abba, Father." And Abba means daddy. It's Papa, you know, as a papa, a daddy. That's the message, see, to have that kind of an environment where it's just daddy. Now, I know if you were raised in a home where there was a lot of stress, a lot of volume, a lot of control, it's hard to break that cycle. Or maybe you got some difficult children. I mean, they could just be wound up and a little hyper and maybe a little controlling or whatever. And they're feeding off the power in the home, because one of the things we know, the powerful parents tend to have powerful kids. So we're going to try to depower a little bit and stand up and be a parent. Okay? That's our focus today. Come join us. What have you learned? Something you'd share as a parent that'd be helpful. Or a question. 888-888-1717.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I have found that the way to handle not yelling is to have a plan of how you're going to react when things don't go your way or when your children don't respond in the way that you want them to. Have a plan, be proactive. And what I found myself doing is saying, okay, if my son does this, this is how I'm going to react. And if my son does that, then great, this is what my plan was. And I'm ready to respond in the right way. is, again, have a plan of how you're going to react when your son or your daughter doesn't react the way you want them to. Practice it out, kind of role play with your spouse, and then this way you won't yell. You'll be ready and you're going to react in a godly way.
There you go. Plan ahead. Plan ahead. Anything, if you plan ahead, tends to be better and certainly sounds intentional to me. Zena is on the line. Zena, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's your question?
Well, I've raised three children, 27, 25, 17. I was raised in a household where you couldn't speak your piece. You were, you know, it was yelled. So I did differently with my kids. I didn't yell at them or, you know, we were very, we talked it out and stuff like that. But now I'm raising my five-year-old granddaughter. She just moved in with me. She'll be six on Friday. She had no discipline at all. So it's kind of like
Think of the fantastic opportunity you now have, Zena. You have in front of you a little five-year-old, strong-willed, undisciplined child who's going to need that kind of love, is going to need that kind of, remember what discipline comes from. It comes from the root of discipleship, which is a training process. And so while you're trying to catch up during, you know, these first 5 years, there's going to be a lot of patience, but man, you've got a real opportunity here. God bless you. Is this a long-term commitment?
As far as I know, yes. This is her second time moving in with me. The problem is that she listens to me because I'm very stern. I don't yell. I'm very stern. I do reinforce. Like, if I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. So, like, if I warn you and say, if you do that again, this is the consequences, I follow through with it. The problem is when the outside world becomes involved. At church, she's very disrespectful to people. At school, she's disrespectful. Anywhere I'm not there in her presence, she's very disrespectful.
Well, see,
I'm working on it.
Yeah, and I think, Zena, it might be that you use the word stern, and I think probably all of us interpret that word differently. But I hear your heart in saying we're going to have structure, you know, we're going to follow through and so on. And so there might be a little bit of extinguishing behavior when she's with you because you're consistent and you follow through, but she's testing it in other places. And so what you need to have is two game plans. One game plan is when you're there, like at home, and that you want to lovingly reinforce. You want to say, honey, I want you to know that this is the way it is here. I love you, but, you know, there's consequences. And, you know, pick your battles carefully. You know this. You've raised three kids. Pick them carefully, but then have another game plan for when children are not under your preview. They may be at church, might be in the nursery or whatever. You know what it could be at the nursery if they're acting up? You tell the nursery worker, look, you know, this is my granddaughter or grandson and granddaughter rather, and I'm raising her, but I'm trying to build some structure in her home. She didn't have that, a lot of confusion. And here's what I'd like to have you do. And if it gets to be a problem, you call me and I will come. And you don't have to go in there angry. You don't have to go in there stern. You just go in, and you might, she's probably having fun with the kids. You might remove her and say, you know, you're not going to be here today. We're going to leave today. Now, next time, if this is a place you want to be and you enjoy this, we'll see how it goes. In other words, if she starts to see you, Zena, being consistent and saying there's a certain behavior that's appropriate and inappropriate, there's things that are going to happen as a consequence. If you're out in a store and there's something that, you know, she's wanting and you may have to leave. You know, you're going to just say, hey, this is it. And she'll throw a fit with that. But if she starts to see that you're being consistent in following through and holding her accountable, that's a very intentional act. And that's why I tell parents, if you tend to be on the stern side, power down sometimes, because power extinguishes behavior. Let's face it, you yell, you extinguish the behavior in a little one, but it's gone somewhere. You know, that went somewhere that's going to show up somewhere else. And long-term, that's just not effective. So, all right, I hope that helps, Zena. Appreciate it. We're going to talk about some of that at Parents Night Out as well, because this tends to be just a big, big topic of how to parent down and power up.
My husband and I intentionally with our children do equal amount of reading time for equal amount of TV time. They hate it. We love it.
My mom used to tell us in the summertime if we were bored, she would be happy to find us a job around the house that we could do so that we wouldn't be bored anymore. So we just learned not to say that we were bored because we would have to work if we were bored. So I thought that was a very clever way of keeping us from complaining. We started praying with them in the evenings, and we have just noticed a wonderful change in our children. It has changed our family, our parenting, everything has changed, and we're so blessed, and thank you so much for your show, and keep doing what you're doing.
Well, you're very welcome, and we will. And by the way, I had a little slip of the tongue there going into the break. I didn't give you permission to power up and parent down, okay? Even though I said it. It's the other way. It's power down and parent up. That's really the objective here. Having fun. Here's what veteran parents are saying on Facebook. Slow down and enjoy it. Be patient and listen. Pray a lot. Expect the unexpected. Enjoy every minute because they grow up so fast. Don't kick yourself for mistakes and cherish every time those little arms wrap around your neck with a hug. Pray for everything, and in all things seek Him. And save the word no for when you really need it, by the way. I think that's good advice, picking battles carefully. Renee is on the line. Hi, Renee.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. What's your question today?
My question is, I'm a single mom. I have an 11-year-old and a 5-year-old boy, and I scream a lot. I got it from my family, and I'm trying to stop, and I don't know how to stop.
Well, so what you feel guilty afterward, probably.
Right? Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Listen, what you have to do, Renee, is hold yourself accountable, just like you want to hold your children accountable.
Yes,
it may be that you say, every time I yell, what's something you really don't like doing around the house, or what's some project that you've been putting off, or something that you
clean
don't
my
like.
Car.
Okay, the next time I yell, I'm going to be responsible. I have to spend a half hour cleaning my car.
Okay.
In other words, you start disciplining yourself. This is what we say about parenting. The best way to parent is logical and natural consequences, holding your kids accountable for their behavior, because that's the way that life is going to work. And you do the same thing as a parent. And, we talk about the little things of counting to 10, walking out of the room. Those things help, but holding yourself accountable with a discipline. But I will tell you this, Renee, one of the things I've seen that helps is when a parent has a plan of action before they encounter the problem.
Okay.
You see, what happens is it's a habit. That's what it is.
Oh, definitely.
And it's like anything, you know, if you got a bad habit of eating too much, or a bad habit of, you know, wasting time, or a bad habit of anything, it's usually a trigger that sets that off, right?
Oh, yes.
And so what sets it off, the yelling? What's the thing that tends to set you off?
Like I said, my kids are 11 and 5. We're going through a very rough time right now, and just not listening, not following the rules.
Okay.
Everything, and then I just I get angry and I yell at them, and they in turn yell back at me.
All right, so what's a healthier deal that's escalating, right? What's a healthier deal next time you give a reasonable expectation, clean your room, let's say, okay?
Okay.
Or finish your homework, something like that, and they don't do it. What's a better approach? What could you do other than yell when they don't do it?
Maybe sit down with them and help them with their homework, encourage them to do it.
Well, that could be part of it. You could say, look, I'm available if you need help, but you know what? Once your homework is done, you can have dinner.
Okay.
Or once your homework is done, then you can play that video game that you wanted to do.
There you go.
In other words, you have a strategy with your kids where you're putting the ball, as it were, in their court. They're responsible for themselves. They've got to be accountable for their actions. You're not going to jump in and save them. You're not going to rescue them. And you're available. If you need help, I'm here. As soon as you're done with your homework, you can play your video game. And if you want to sit until 10 o'clock and do your homework for 5 hours when you could do it in 20 minutes, then that's your choice. But that's got to be done before, you know, you go to bed tonight. And leave the ball in their court.
Okay.
Does that help?
Oh, definitely.
All right. Just the simple things like that can make a difference.
Yes. Thank you.
You're very welcome. By the way, do you live in Tucson or do you live in Phoenix?
I live in Phoenix.
Okay. Would you like to come to our Parents Night Out conference?
I would love to come.
All right. Well, you hang on. I'm going to pick up the phone, Colleen, and give her 2 tickets so she can bring a friend with her. And we're going to help you, Renee. So come on out to either the Mesa or the Phoenix Parents' night out. It's our gift to you. We'll get your address and take care of it, okay? All right. This is fun. I'm having fun today.
You don't have to yell to get my attention.
I wasn't yelling!
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, offering you a chance to stop and to breathe and to learn the secrets of intentional parenting. So join me for a much-needed Parents' Night Out.
Intentional Living's Parents' Night Out Conference. Visit TheIntentionalLife.com. That's TheIntentionalLife.com.
Hey, Tom. Tom. Hey.
What's up?
Wow, what are you listening to?
Oh, yeah, it's a podcast from Dr. Randy Carlson. Download them all the time. I listen to them on my way into the office.
So what are they about?
Are you kidding? If you can think of a subject, chances are Dr. Randy's got a podcast on it. Everything from making your marriage better to helping raising your kids when you'd rather sell them to gypsies.
Can I listen to that one right now, please? Lately, it seems my kids have been whisked away and replaced by aliens.
Download free podcasts, past shows, and more from Dr. Randy at TheIntentionalLife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt, and welcome here. We're live at the Intentional Living Center today, having a great time. I always get pretty passionate and pumped when we talk about parenting, because you think about it, it's a legacy. It's a legacy. You're as my mother used to say, I can still hear her. She's been in heaven for many years. I can still hear her in my head saying, Randy, you know, parenting is sending into the future people that you love that you won't be around to see what happens. In other words, as a parent, you're building into the next generation and the generation after and the generation after on this giant genogram of life and the family tree of life. You got your little box. What do you do with that box? See, what do you do with that time that you have? What do you do with the years that you have? And, you know, not to lay guilt on you, because I'm telling you, there's not a parent alive that doesn't have some regrets. Anybody here doesn't have any regrets? Any of our staff? Parenting, Steve, you don't have any regrets, Steve? Oh, you do have some. Oh, okay. I thought, wow, we found the perfect one. We all do. You know, I can think of several things if I could go back. And I was out teaching all during those years, writing books, teaching, doing parenting kind. There's times I was just a jerk, if I could say it that way, just a jerk. And but God blessed, and the kids turned out great, and they're doing wonderful, and the grandkids are coming along, and God is good, and God is one that superintends this. If we humble ourselves before Him and allow Him to do His work in our lives. So no matter what stage you're in now, as a grandparent, maybe a parent with young adults in their early 20s or late teens, or maybe it's the little ones, you can do this. And it's a matter of following some of these basic intentional living principles. By the way, again, we've been really pumping this week because we're pumped for the Parents Night Out tour begins. We've been talking about it for a few weeks here. You know that. But it begins this Friday. We were just on a phone conference making sure all the details were worked out. This Friday night in Midland, Michigan, it's a Michigan tour starting in Michigan, at Messiah Lutheran Church, Midland, 7 o'clock Friday. Jackson at Grace Church, Jackson, Michigan, Saturday, 6 o'clock. And then Flint at Central Nazarene Church, Sunday night at 6 o'clock. You can get tickets today, by the way. And then we come to Phoenix, Mesa and Phoenix, October 23, 24, and then Tucson, November 6. This is a date night for couples. Really, it is. Come on out. And a break night for single parents. Find sitters. Find someone to watch the kids so you can just breathe. Come on out. Laugh and learn. You know, we're going to be there for, I don't know, 2.5 hours of just really, I promise it'll be just really practical stuff. So go to TheIntentionalLife.com, TheIntentionalLife.com. Let me go back to calls. Daylene is on the line in New Mexico. Hi, Daylene.
Hi there.
How are you today?
I'm okay. I could be better.
Okay. All right.
I'm just trying to give it to God.
What's going on? How can I help? What's the question?
I have six children. Two of them are young adults. They're out of the home. Mm-hmm. The ones I have left at home are 3, 9, 10, and 17.
Okay.
Now, one of my oldest son, he's 22. He's been getting in a lot of trouble recently, and he was on probation, and he had an ankle bracelet to where he couldn't drink because that was the majority of his problem. He got that removed yesterday. And, of course, he wasn't home all night last night, and he came in, you know, just a while ago, and I'm just so upset. You know, I'm ready to tell him to leave, you know, that he needs to get out and find his own way because, you know, mom was tired of supporting him and his bad habits, and I've shared, you know, the ministry of Jesus. I've shared everything I can, and I've advised him, and I've advised him, and I'm real patient. I'm a patient parent.
Are you doing this alone? Is your husband? Is there a husband?
No, my husband and I. It's just.
Are you on the same page?
Yes. Okay. I'm the one that does the majority of the disciplining and, you know, what shall we do? And my husband's the supporter and, you know, he reinforces things. Yeah. But, you know, now I'm at the end of my rope to where this is not a good example for the younger kids.
Well, that's it. There's two or three things going on here. One is making sure that you and your spouse, you and your husband are on the same page. And he's got to step up. You can't be carrying the load all alone. We got to work on this together. And really moving ahead. Secondly, is the influence on your 3, 9, 11, and 17-year-old. You know, they're watching. They're going to see. And what I hear is a mother's heart. And our hearts get really big for our kids and our grandkids. And it's just, I think this is just the way God wired us. You know, we love them and we care for them. But sometimes we get confused with what love means. I have a chapter in a book I did on marriage called Active Respect, which really says, I respect you enough that there will be times when I have to hold you accountable. See, respect and love also comes with consequences. And you can't change your 22-year-old son, you know. He needs direction for his life. He's got to come to the end of himself. He's got to decide. In my opinion, we got to have our identity in Christ. He's got to deal with this alcohol. He's got to decide what he's going to do in his life. But for you and your husband, and I stand with this with every parent, we can't, we shouldn't, it's bad news when we enable our children, when we enable them to continue in a lifestyle or in a life pattern that's going to be increasingly destructive for themselves. Sometimes a little pain has to come before the big pain of a person making a decision. I look at the prodigal who walked out the door and the dad didn't chase him down the street, you know, handing out dollars or handing out one more time or let's try this. This son wanted to go do his thing, and the dad was heartbroken. I'm sure he looked out the window every day. He waited to see what was going to happen. He maybe even had spies looking. I don't know. But the bottom line is he didn't chase him, didn't chase after him. So let me be real practical with you, Daylene. I'd recommend two things for you. One is you and your husband spend some real time in prayer and in counseling together. I think it's important for you guys together as a team to go and find a counselor in your area, someone you trust, someone who loves the Lord, someone who's experienced, who can help you think through and put a plan of action together. Now, in my economy, part of the plan of action would include sitting down with your son and saying, you know, son, we love you. We care for you. We don't agree with the decisions you're making, but ultimately we're going to stand before God someday, and we don't want to be held accountable for enabling you to do something that's destructive in your life. You need to decide what your plans are for the future, but they don't include coming home here drunk. They don't include coming home here with drugs, if that's part of it. It doesn't include just sitting on the couch or just getting by or being in trouble with the law, and this is going to be your halfway house forever. That's just not part of the plan. We'll help you. We'll stand with you. We're going to love you. We'll help you along the way. We'll do everything we possibly can. We're your parents. We're aching and hurting for you, but we're not going to enable you. But the first thing I would do, Daylene, you and your husband, get in counseling together and get a plan of action put together, and I'd do it soon.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yes. I think I was just ready to have him get out.
Yeah, I know. And
I'm going on a field trip with your sister, and when I get out, I get home, you better be out.
Well, listen, if that's what God's leading you to do and you and your spouse are on the same page, you got to do what you feel you got to do. But I will tell you this, two things. One is usually making decisions when we're really upset are not the best way of making decisions, okay? That's a general rule for life. But you use your emotions to help you drive to a place of making a decision that you really feel comfortable with. But I'd do it soon. I wouldn't put it off. I think you and your husband in the hours ahead should call someone and say, hey, we need to come in and talk. We need to put a plan of action together. Will you help us? And then I take action. That's really being an intentional parent.
Hello, my name is Michelle, and I went to the conference this weekend, and I wanted to tell you guys that it was life-changing and that I am wearing my bracelet every day as a constant reminder that I used to be a yeller and a screamer, and that's how I grew up, with my mom doing that to me, and I didn't know any different. And since I have been to the conference, I have made a very conscious effort to not yell or scream at my kids and talk to them calmly and nicely and discipline them in a constant manner. And I just want to thank Dr. Randy Carlson for changing my life.
Well, I appreciate it, but, you know, I can't take that personally. I changed your life. I appreciate the fact that we share words that make people think. And I've learned, you know, when I was younger, I used to say, wow, look how good I am. Look what's happening. You know what I've learned over the years? I've gotten older and experienced. People come to an event and God's doing something in their life that night. There's an intersection that occurs with a word that's spoken, a thought, one idea. That's why I tell people one thing. Take one thing out of this conference tonight. And when you do, just, you know, camp there and let God do something in your life with that one thing. And so, but thank you anyway. I appreciate it. That, you know, I'm really anticipating that's going to happen this weekend. People are going to come, and there's just going to be one thing. You know, we're going to say a lot of things, but just one thing. And I tell people, just take that one thing and circle it on your notes. One thing that you get into your head and say, you know, for the next 30 days, that is my one thing. It could be that you're going to follow through with your kids. It could be that if you're married, you're going to really start building, getting on the same page with your spouse. It could be that you're going to get some counseling. It could be that you're going to, you know, stop yelling and start building follow through with your kids, like we talked today, powering down and parenting up. Or it could be that you're going to pray for your kids every day for the next 30 days. But one thing, that's our challenge out of every one of our events, one thing for 30 days. And I think it's going to happen. That's why we're passionate to get you to come on out and be a part of this. Midland, again, this weekend. It starts Friday, Midland, Friday night in Michigan, Messiah Lutheran Church. Saturday, Jackson, Michigan, Grace Church. And then Sunday in Flint, Central Nazarene Church. And then we move to Arizona, to Phoenix, to Mesa and Phoenix, actually, in the Valley, October 23 and 24. And then Friday night, November 6th in Tucson at Faith Community Church. Hope you'll come. Upcoming programs, Intentional Health is coming your way. We're going to talk about how to be healthy and what is God's intention for your health and the power of one thing. A couple program topics coming your way. I'm Randy Carlson. Have a great time. We'll see you next time.